Lord, this evening we are humbled to be here, Lord, because you are here, Lord. Lord, we so many times take church for granted and take the gathering of the saints for granted, Lord, but tonight we just honor you, Jesus. Come and touch our hearts tonight, Lord. Come and have your way in each of our lives, Lord. We consecrate ourselves to you right now, Lord. We set ourselves apart for this time in your presence, God. And I thank you, Lord, that your presence never leaves us, God. Many times we think you do, Lord, and we're sorry for that. But we believe this evening, Lord, that as you touch our lives right now, as you touch our hearts, Lord, that we will leave here, Lord, never doubting your presence with us, never doubting that you are for us and that you want to use us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We say yes to you this evening. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We receive your word. We respond to your word, Lord, in our hearts. And we say, let your kingdom come in our lives. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a time in every man's life that's quite special. Some of you will still get there. When you stand before the altar and you stand waiting on your wedding day for your wife-to-be to come down the aisle. Some of you are married, yeah. Very few of you. The rest of you, you've got lots to look forward to. Now I'm getting everyone excited for marriage. Eh? Should have a relationship talk right now. Eh? But I'll never forget that day when Esther walked down the aisle and, you know, your heart just beats like it's never beaten before, you know. And then you think to yourself, what have I done? I've signed my life away. No, I'm only joking. I definitely didn't think that. But then you see your wife coming down the aisle and you have this heart beating and you're just thinking, this is just amazing. This is like the start of my life. And you're so excited. And, you know, thinking back to that day, I just thought of how God's heart must be when His church comes back to Him, when every person, individual, walks down the aisle and says yes to Jesus and comes into a relationship with Jesus, just how His heart must beat. And that's His heart for every person. This morning I held up my little son in front of the morning service. I can't do it now. He's sleeping. But it was just amazing to, you know, how my heart beats for him. I mean, my heart beats very much for my wife as well. But you know, when you have children, your heart beats for your children. You've got this intense love for your children. And I think it's the same with God. God showed me just some of His heart for us as His people. And His heart is for every single person. His heart, He doesn't separate us in terms of some people are more worthy to be loved by Him. Everyone's worthy to be loved by Him. Jesus died for the whole world. Amen. His heart beats for people. But you see, many times we think that God's heart beats just for us. And then we think, if our life is fine, then that's fine. God is happy. But God is not totally satisfied yet because He knows there's so many people in this world that are going to be apart from Him, that are going to be lost for the rest of their lives. And maybe there's some of you sitting here tonight and you're not sure that you are making God's heart beat because you're not sure that you're in a relationship with Him. And there's lots of people in this city, there's lots of people in this nation, their hearts haven't connected with the heart of God yet. And God wants to do that in our lives. God wants to do it in us and then through us that other people can experience the same heartbeat of God and know His heart. So that's what this evening's about. This evening isn't about putting all these flags up and, you know, psyching us up to go on missions. That's not the point. The point is just to represent the heart of God tonight. The heart of God, not for the world as in the world. The heart of God is for every person that's in the world. Amen. Every single person is important to God. And you are part of that. You are also important to God tonight. So tonight I trust that God's heart will come across, and we haven't got enough time to talk about the heart of God because it'll take a lifetime of sermons. But tonight I just trust that you would see God's heart, not only for you, but for every person that's living on this earth and for every person that will still be born on this earth. I remember watching the Olympic opening ceremony for the first time in 1992 when South Africa went back to the Olympic Games and was allowed to take part. And I watched the opening ceremony. I don't know if any of you have watched the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games, but you just see nation upon nation flooding into the stadium. And it doesn't end. It's like, when is it going to end? You think after an hour it's going to end, and then only half the countries have gone in. And there's masses and masses of people. And it reminded me a little bit of what heaven is going to be like. I don't know about you. Have you ever thought of what heaven's going to be like? Has anyone thought of that? It's difficult to imagine it, okay? Because we just can't have a mind to comprehend what heaven is going to be like. We fall short of God's glory. So we just can't see this glorious heaven. We can't imagine it. So we can imagine a lot of things. We can imagine there will be, you know, are there going to be cars there? Are there going to be houses? You know, are we going to have a physical body, or is it going to be spiritual, or what? You know, it's very difficult to comprehend. And I don't think God can reveal it to us, because our minds are not quite there yet. We need to become like Jesus fully before we'll know what heaven could be like. But the Bible does tell us one thing about what heaven is going to be like. And I think it's going to look a lot more multicultural than our church currently. And than many churches maybe in the city and in this nation. It's not going to have one type of person in it. Or one type of culture. John gives us a little bit of a picture. And I'm just going to run through some of the stuff quickly, because we can preach for hours on certain of these verses. But yeah, in Revelation chapter 5, he says that, I'm just going to skip to verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You're worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." I've underlined it there. Every tribe and tongue and people and nation. This is a little bit of a picture of heaven. Heaven is not going to consist of a certain group of people, or a few groups of people, or even a rainbow nation of people. Heaven won't only consist of South Africans or Africans or, you know, maybe a few people from other nations. Heaven is going to consist of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Amen. Isn't that amazing? And when I watched this opening ceremony, I thought, this is a little bit of heaven. Heaven is going to be like representation from every country and every tribe and every people group that's living on this earth. And I know the Olympics don't represent every single people group, I don't think. But heaven is going to represent every single people group. There's another verse that in Revelation 7, if you can just skip to that, it's again, John writes and he says, "Behold, a great multitude, no one can number, of all nations, tribes, tongues, and peoples." It's going to be amazing. Amen. Heaven is going to consist of so many different people. I'll never forget when I was at school, you know, our school opened its gates, its doors in 1991 to people of different color, people that have a little bit more melanin in their skin than I do, you know. A little bit darker shade, okay? This whole shades of gray thing. What, 50 shades of gray? There's a bit of a shade, different shades of people that came into our school. I think our school was the second or third school in the country or something to open its doors so early to non-whites, a government school now. And I remember God stirred something in my heart, because I thought, hey, you know, I didn't grow up like this. I grew up when, you know, the farm workers were like one side and we were there, and it was black and white or white and the rest, you know, the apartheid era, terrible stuff in this nation. So you grow up like that, and then you come to the school, and suddenly, and in junior school, you've gone through, like, you know, you've never seen a different color with you in the class, you know, it's just white, and white is cool, you know. Then you come to high school, and you see these other different cultures and different people, and there's black and Indian and colored and, you know, quite a mix. And I gave my life to the Lord in Standard 7. I was 15 years old, and God started to do something then already with people of different cultures. I seemed to just make friends with these guys. And they were clever guys. They were anointed people, sport and academics. They would actually stand out. But it was so amazing to connect with just a different culture. And I know it was God, because naturally I wasn't that type of person to just connect with anyone. But just started to be drawn to these people because they were interesting. And that is what God wants to stir in our hearts, a heart for different people, a heart for different cultures. Because heaven, guys, is going to consist of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Amen? That is a picture of heaven. That's what heaven's going to be like. And we had better get used to worshiping with people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Heaven is going to be full of worship one day. Heaven is going to be all about the Lamb. It's not going to be like the Olympics or all about how good you are at your sport and how much you've trained and how much you perform. Heaven is going to be about the Lamb of God who was slain. Heaven is going to be about worship. But heaven is going to consist of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you see, God is the God of all nations. God has got a heart for every single person. Until the gospel has been preached to every single person, Jesus cannot come back. Amen. That's what Matthew 24 says. Until this gospel has been preached to every nation, only then will the end come. Only then will Jesus come back. And you know, I can make you feel bad now and say, oh, we better go to all the unreached nations and maybe just lay our lives down because we might get killed because we better try and preach the gospel. That's not the heart of tonight. The heart of tonight is that you will see God's heart for the nations. And that each one of you will have an encounter with his heart for all the people out there. And the good news tonight is that there's some people in the city that are from other nations. There's some people in this university that are from other nations. Universities are wonderful, aren't they? Because they draw people from every nation and then they send them back to their nations. Isn't that a great opportunity to disciple people and send them back that the nations can be changed? Amen. So I just want to look at a brief history of the world, because you see in Genesis chapter 11 that the Bible talks about this incredible unity that there was. They built the Tower of Babel. There was one language. And sin was still there. And you know, Noah's flood wiped out most of the people, or all of the people except Noah, but yet there was still sin abounded on the earth. God never destroyed sin completely. And it came to a height here where the Tower of Babel was built and the whole world had one language and they were in such unity. And God said, listen, if I don't scatter these people, then they're going to build an incredible tower and worship themselves. And so it said that the Lord had to scatter them abroad over the face of all the earth. You see, God scattered the nations because of sin. Sin scatters the nations. Sin scatters us away from God. Amen. Where there's sin abounding, and we see these nations of the world that are persecuted and struggling because there's a worship of idols, and the Christians are persecuted. They're doing their best to restore God's presence in these nations, but there's just persecution, and there's a worship of idols and a worship of everything else but God. Sin is abounding, causing a scattering away from Him. We must pray for those nations. We must pray for the Christian brothers and sisters that have been raised up there to just represent God. But you see, there's a scattering away from God. And so that's what happened in Genesis 11, that God had to scatter the people because of the sin. But you see, that wasn't God's heart at the start. God's heart was always to gather people to Him. And in the very next chapter, God makes provision. And in Genesis 12, He calls the man called Abraham. Anyone know Abraham? Heard about Abraham? He was Abram, then he became Abraham, father of many. Father of all nations. And He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I'll make your name great and you shall be a blessing. The Afrikaans says it so nicely. Ek gaan jou so seën dat jy gaan 'n seën wees. I will bless you so much that you're going to be a blessing. You can't help it. You're going to be a blessing. Amen. Anyone experience God's blessing in your life? Anyone here? Just wave to me. You've experienced God's blessing. You know, God is going to bless you so much that you cannot help but being a blessing. Amen. Anyone had a testimony where people around you say you're such a blessing? Come, don't be. Hey? It's God's blessing upon your life. Amen. It's not you. Don't think you're so cool, okay? Give it to Jesus. Give the glory to Jesus. Amen. God blesses you so much and He chooses Abraham and says, I want to bless those who bless you. And I tell you what, I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Amen. God chooses one man. God chooses the individual to start to bless nations. And I believe we, as a church movement, it's awesome. God has blessed us to go to nations. He's opened many doors. But it's all about the individual saying, I want to go. It's not about, you know, because the whole church will not go. But it's about certain individuals that are blessed and saying, God, I want to be like Abraham, blessing the families of the earth. And so God's heart is to gather the nations, and God sends out people like Abraham to gather the nations. And God wants to send us out, and it's not about going now, but it's about that heart. Are you prepared to go? Amen. He's sending out individuals. The scripture we know so well, for God so loved who? You? Me? Bloemfontein, South Africa? God so loved the campus? God so loved the world, the whole world. Amen. That whosoever believes in Him, I love that, whoever will just believe will have eternal life and will not perish. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God's heart is to gather people. Saints, amen. God's heart is to gather the nations. And He sends Abraham, and He says, Abraham, in your seed there's going to come one from you who's going to be a blessing. The Son of God, Jesus Christ. And history comes to a climax here, and the Son of God dies on the cross for all of the sins of the world, and for my sin and for your sin included. And His heart is to start to gather people through His Son, Jesus. I'll never forget my first mission to India. You know, I was so excited to get on the plane. We're going to go for 2 weeks and we're going to preach the gospel and connect with people there. And so you're excited, you land in the country, and it's a beautiful country. It's really, there's lots of rain there, too much rain at times. It's green and awesome. And then you start to drive through the city and through the countryside, and you just see the mess and what sin has caused this nation to fall into. You see weird stuff. You see, you know, our townships, and I don't know, I've probably not been to the worst in South Africa, but they haven't got anything on it that I've seen. The worst of the worst poverty. And then you think to yourself, the first day you're there, and you just say, God, I actually want to go back now. It would be nice just to go back to South Africa now and just live the comfortable life that I'm living. I don't want to see this, God. You just want this nation to go like right under the earth and or under the sea and just be swallowed up and come up again, and there's no more people and no more sin, and it's all fresh and clean. It would be so much nicer. And then your heart is challenged by, do you really love these people? And do you really love God? Because God loves these people. So you get saved all over again. Amen? Anyone got saved on a mission? Some people. You just get saved all over again because you realize God's heart, He died. He sent His Son for these people. Then you get over yourself a little bit. You know, that's what a mission does, because, hey, there's no trip back. Eh? There's no return ticket like now. The return ticket's in 2 weeks' time. You're staying in India for 2 weeks, so embrace it. Enjoy it. Eat the food that there is there. Hey? I mean, I'm a very, very fussy person. I had to diet myself to eat some of the stuff that they give you. And you don't say no to people on a mission. Amen? Don't say no when someone is hosting you and they give you this like concoction. You know, you just embrace it and maybe get sick afterwards or whatever. I don't know. Not in front of them. Okay, but you're going to eat some weird food when you go. But then you just get over yourself and you start to meet the people that God has changed, the leaders there and their hearts for us and their hospitality. And every mission I go on, it's just amazing the people that God has raised up in that place. It's like God is there. And then you just see the heart of God and how He saved people, and you have hope again for this nation. That God is busy in this nation because He sent His Son Jesus that the world can be saved. See, God has made a plan for the nations to be gathered back together. And the good news is tonight. You want to hear some good news? He wants to use you and He wants to use me. Those who have the seed of Christ in them, that seed that is, like Jacobus said, when you've been born again, you've experienced Christ, you cannot but tell the world about Christ. He wants to use us and birth that seed in us again for His heart. But you see, one of the problems is the following. One of the problems is we think, oh no, people are too hard to be saved, or let's just give up because I've tried this before, or maybe the people aren't ready yet. And that's the biggest lie. John chapter 4 says the following. Jesus said to them, He said, my food, and He's talking to His disciples. Yeah, He's just led the Samaritan woman to Christ and she saved the whole city, the woman at the well. And his disciples are saying, Jesus, you better eat something now. You know, aren't you hungry? Let's just get in the natural a little bit here. Come, you're not going to last if you don't eat some Kentucky Fried Chicken or something now, okay? And Jesus says, listen, yeah, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, to finish his work. And he says, do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? I tell you what, you're deceived. The harvest isn't going to come one day. It's not in a year from now or months from now. The harvest is ready. He says, look up, lift up your eyes, look at the fields. They're already white for harvest. Amen. And he goes on to say the following. He who reaps receives wages. That both he who sows and he gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, and I believe he's telling us the same, that the harvest is ready, guys. Amen? There's a hunger for the gospel right here on campus. There's a hunger for the gospel in this nation and in the nations of the world. The harvest truly is ready. I had an incredible experience just 2 weeks ago. Heston and I were running one Saturday. It was Saturday morning about 2 weeks ago. So we're running from Brandkop and going back to our house, and we crossed the off-ramp that goes off the N1 onto to the macro side of Walter Sisulu. And there's this guy parked in his car, and once again, he doesn't have the same amount of melanin that I do, a little bit darker than me. Okay, can we like say black and white? Yeah, I don't know, I'm trying to be politically correct. But anyway, wasn't a white guy, okay? Let's just call it a spade a spade. He was a black guy, okay? So the South African mentality is like, and this guy like gets out of his car, and then you think, is this now a setup? Like, does this guy want to attack us now? And why has he stopped yet? It's weird, like, so you think, must I go? Mustn't I? Must we just walk on? And he's like calling to us, and so we go. And then he shows us his wallet, and like he's got no money in his wallet, and he says, look, I've just run out of petrol, and please, can you just help me? And we say, okay, but do you want like a liter? Can I just get you a liter of petrol and come back, and are you going to wait? And he says, yeah, yeah. And then he just starts to cry. Like a big, strong guy, you know, a man just starts to weep, and like, it's a bit awkward, like we don't know him. So like I said, it's okay, you know, we're going to come back now, you know, don't cry. But I could see it's not a cry of like, it was just this brokenness, and I thought, I don't know what this is, but I said, listen, now, wait here, we're going to go. And so Hester, drop her off at home and get in my car and drive all the way to the casino and fill up with petrol there and come back, because I couldn't obviously get onto the off-ramp the other way, so I had to go all the way. And I'm thinking, God, if this is a setup now, you must warn me, but I really want to help this guy. So I stopped there, and he's still there, and I put in the petrol and make sure his car starts, and all the while I'm talking to him, but I can see he's a broken man, he's crying, I'm thinking, I said to him, what's wrong? And he says, listen, I've just been divorced. A month ago I was divorced, and I'm on my way to Johannesburg, and I've got nothing for my kids, but he's crying, he can hardly speak to me, and he's so sad. And I just said, listen here, and I just knew God said to me, this is now an opportunity to minister to. And then I heard he was in Stellenbosch. He's lived in Stellenbosch. I said, yes, please. I'll connect him with the church there. He won't get away. You know, God's presence is there. But then I want to find out now, does he know the Lord? And so I say to him, Eric, listen here, there's only two options. And obviously he tells me his life is ending now. It's like, man, my life is, I don't want to live anymore. And I said to him, listen here, don't believe that. Your life is only starting now. But the question is, where are you going? There's only two options. There's heaven or hell. Do you know where you're going? And do you know Jesus? And he's like, no. And he's so emotional, he probably didn't hear off what I said to him. But I just said, I want to pray for you now that you get to know Jesus, because he is the start and the finish of your life. Amen? He's the beginning and the end of your life. It's not about whether you're divorced or married or what. That's not, I know it's not nice. And I said, I can't identify with you because I've never been divorced, so I don't know what it's like. And it must be terrible. But at least you're still alive and there's a purpose for your life. And obviously he was so open because he's just so broken. As I prayed for him, I said, I want your number so that I can connect you with the people in Stellenbosch. But the point of my story this evening is that there's a harvest that's ready, guys. Even in this nation, which we think is Christian. Amen. And there's a harvest that's ready out there. And that's why Jesus says, don't say one day the harvest will come in. One day there'll be people saved. No, now. Every day there's opportunities to speak to people. And I asked the people this morning, I challenged the guys this morning, I said, do you know in your workplace, in your class, in your rest, do you know who the Christians are? Do you know who's saved and who's not saved? Do you know who to pray for? At least. And it's not like we're all evangelists leading people to Christ, but we've all got to do the work of an evangelist and at least start to pray and find out who is the harvest in your class. Who is needing prayer? And everyone needs prayer, but who needs God? Amen. Who needs salvation? Because the harvest is ready. And the great news is that some of us are going to sow, some of us reap, some of us do both. Whatever you need to do, you do what you're going to do. But it's not like you're going to be the first one necessarily to have sown into someone's life, because lots of people are praying. Amen. There's intercessors praying 24/7 almost for the people in this nation and maybe for other nations. So when we go and people get saved and healed and delivered, it's not primarily us. We're just reaping that which other people have sown. Amen. And so we shouldn't rejoice if we're just laboring hard, and or we shouldn't rejoice if we're reaping the harvest. It's the same thing. Some people have sown and some have reaped. And some people in your class you're going to be reaping because they're ready. Some you've got to sow in prayer and sow and sow and pray, bless them and pray for them and worship over them and trust God that they get saved. But do what you need to do. And some people are ready, so reap them. Reap the harvest. Bring them in. Lead them to Christ. Pray for them. Especially when the rubber hits the road, then people know who the Christians are and where the light is and where the truth is. Are some of you getting excited this evening that we are all entering into someone else's labor? Amen. We're all entering into the labor that other people have done and gone before us. And obviously the apostles and the people of the Bible are the ultimate foundation, and Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. They are the people that have gone ahead of the nations of the world, prepared the ground for us who are living in a time like this. So the question is, two questions tonight. The first one, will you ask for the nations? Because that's where it starts. It's a heart that we can say, ask of me, like Jesus. The Father said to Jesus, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. I believe Jesus is saying the same thing to us. Will you ask me? Because the Father has given me all nations. Are you going to ask me for nations? I just want to ask Jan to quickly come and share what the Lord stirred in his heart, because it's so exciting when the heartbeat of God just spills over into a church, because they're starting a prayer group for the nation specifically. And so we want to invite you to join if you feel God is stirring. But it's so wonderful to know that there's people that are asking for the nations. Thanks, Jan.
Hi, everyone. I just want to share what the Lord laid on our hearts at intercession last year, Isaiah 56, verse 6. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. So yeah, the Lord just laid it on our heart to start getting together on Saturdays from 5 o'clock, like in the Rappi time, and to just pray for the nations. So we really would just like to extend an invite. If the Lord is laying it on your heart, the nations, and just revealing his heart for the nations to you, you're very welcome to join us. Please just come and chat to me afterwards. We can just give you the details. But yeah, I just want to share as well that it's not specifically for those intercessor guys, those prophets and whatever. There are people already in the group who are pastors and evangelists, but together the Lord is just teaching us to pray and teaching us his heart for the nations. So you're very welcome to join us. Thanks.
Amen. When I heard the time that Jan gave me, 5 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, then you get challenged with the idols in your life. Eh? Any guys who like rugby? Some people are. This morning we actually had the cheetah captain in our church. It looks like they might join. And so I didn't want to say too much about the Rugabus God, you know. But praise the Lord for rugby, guys. Arnu and Imana. Nothing wrong. Rugby is a harvest field. Amen. I love rugby and I want to pray for. We trust in God for the cheetahs and people that get saved there. Okay, so if the Lord lays it on your heart, then lay aside a little bit of rugby maybe for one Saturday and just go and join Jan just to get the heart for the nations. Amen. heart for the nations. That is what God's heart is for our church, is to at least start to pray. Mark 11:17, Jesus, he came into the temple and he was very angry, and he didn't whip the people, he just had a whip and he drove the people out, and he said, "Why are you making my house a house of merchandise, a house of robbery, instead of a house of prayer for all nations?" Isn't that what Isaiah said, the scripture that he just read? Jesus said, "Isn't my house supposed to be a house of prayer for one nation, for some nations, no, for all nations?" And God is asking us this evening, as a church, will we ask for the nations? And I want to challenge you, and I want to say that we're going to give each small group one of these, eh? Let's just bounce the earth around. Okay. Each small group leader is going to have one of these that every night you get together as a small group. We're going to just lay hands and just for a short while pray for one or two nations. That we can get God's heart again for the nations. Amen. And look a bit away from ourselves. Look away from our little circumstances and our little worlds. And I want to encourage you guys, read the news. Get out of your little world. Because as students, you know, many times you're just in your little world and it's your studies and your stresses. And read the news. Just see what's going on a little bit around us. See what the persecuted nations are going through and Christians dying. And don't believe all the media says. Please, the media is, you know, the media sometimes twists things. So don't believe it all. But there's hectic stuff happening. But let's pray for the nation. So cell leaders afterwards, please come meet your quiver somewhere and we'll leave it here. But come and take one. Belinda will organize it that we just know who's got a little globe. But all cell leaders, put it in your house. And when you get together on a Wednesday, you can pray for the nations. You can say, "God, you're laying a country on my heart." And let's pray and let's intercede. And let's just join the many thousands and millions of intercessors all around the world that are praying for the nations. And then the second question is, we can't only pray, guys. The question is, will you go to the nations? Matthew 28, Jesus came and he spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of" who? "All the nations." Are you prepared to go? And I want to say this evening, it's not about tomorrow deciding you're going to leave your studies and pack up and go to another nation. That's not what God is asking you now. But God is asking, are you willing to partner with him in going when he says go? I want to ask Edward to quickly just share his testimony about when he went on a mission. Where's Edward now? There. He's trying to hide away. Just what missions meant to him, what short-term missions meant for him and how it changed his life.
Hello guys, so you heard I'm Eduard. I just want to share that mission is a time where you as a team really consecrate your heart towards the Lord and towards his will. And it's actually so sad that for those 10 days you're like, "Your Lord, yeah, I will not hear what evil said the old days." You just want to see the Lord and everything, but that's actually how our whole life must be. But it's so cool because the things you read in the Bible, it really happens on mission. And that's just because God just wants to show his glory. And a lot of time people say, "We went on mission to go bless other people." And then God just came and he overwhelmed us and he blessed us so much. When we were in Mozambique last year, it was the final night. And we went to a church. They blessed us so much with so many food. And we stayed in a very nice place in Maputo. And then Ains and I were like, "Okay, we must just give something to them because they're building a new church for them. They don't even have their own church." And we're like, "Okay, I think we have like 1,000 rand that we have left that we can give them." And we go in front and we throw it into the basket and we walk back. And then afterwards, the church called us to the front and they're like, "Okay, no, they want to give us something just to say thank you for coming here." And they gave us 5,000 metikais. And we're like, "Okay." Just to bless us, just to buy stuff that we want and for petrol money and everything. So that's really you really see the heart of God there on mission. And as a team, you grow and the Holy Spirit really, he's just like inside of you the whole time and you can feel him. And yeah, guys, I want to encourage you, really go. I'm not that cool and I'm not good at preaching or anything like that, but God really uses you when you are there.
Amen. So I want to say tonight that there's not many missions. There's one mission. Last year at the conference, we were corrected by one of the theologians that speaks into our church's doctrine. Dr. Cornet Becker is an amazing theologian. And he just told us, listen, you've just got to remember, there's this thing about missions, there's not many missions. There's one mission. It's called the Missio Dei, the mission of God. And that's the great thing, guys, that we can be set free in the fact that it's God's mission. Amen. It's not dependent upon us whether people, you know, are going to make it or not one day. It's primarily dependent upon God, but God gives us the opportunity to say, partner with me. And you know, if we don't say yes, God will always raise up someone else. That's God's heart. God's heart is never to let people suffer because other people are disobedient. God will just raise up obedient people and other people to go or to do whatever needs to be done. So I don't want you to feel, oh, now, you know, everyone's excited, so let's go on a mission. It's if God wants you to go. But the challenge is that God says to us we must go. And so we must pray whether we must stay. The default, in a way, is to go. Amen? But it's not about going on a short-term mission. And I'm trusting God because God is speaking to us as a movement that it's not about, we send masses of teams out and we go and bless people for 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. And that's great, but I think God is asking us more to pack up our bags and say, we're going to go and live in a different place. We're going to go and live with people and experience people. Not just quickly, you know, like the seagull ministry, you know. We move in, do something, and move out again, you know. A seagull's like very quick, you know. Moves in, gets the prey, and goes. And many times our missions are a bit like that. We don't really engage with the culture. We don't understand the culture fully. It is blessed, and I'm not saying we're going to stop there. We're going to send lots more teams. But I believe God is calling us to go, take up our stuff, and live in another place. Trust God. If you're an engineer or you're a doctor or whatever, there's massive need in Africa. There's massive need in the nations to go as a skilled worker, to go into that nation and to settle there and to trust God to connect with people. That is more God's heart than just the short-term thing. God wants to do both. And it's easy sometimes to do a short-term mission. And so I trust God tonight that what will be birthed in us is that apostolic seed that will want to give up everything and go to wherever God sends us. And it's not going to happen right now because, you know, God will not send you before you're ready. God will prepare you. But I can also tell you, you're never going to be perfectly ready. It's like getting married. It's like having kids. You're never perfectly ready. Amen. Ask Michael. He's just had a daughter. You're never ready to have kids. You're never ready to disciple people. Amen. All of us are inadequate. But the Christ in us makes us adequate to go. Will you go to the nations? Luke 24. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, starting at Jerusalem. The Bible is full of this thing of all nations. The disciples understood the fact that they missed it. Because they thought, hey, we're just going to go to the people of Israel. We're not just going to go to the Jews. And if you read the book of Acts, God had to stir the Holy Spirit to go people across, to get people to go across from the Jewish culture that they were used to go to the Gentiles. And we know the story. The Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles, and like people say, whoa, what's happening here? It's not just for the Jews. Salvation is for all nations, for Jews and Gentiles alike. That was why the Spirit was poured out, starting at Jerusalem, but all nations, all nations, all nations. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, Greek nor Jew. There's neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ. Christ's heart is for the nations. But you see, the gospel is about repentance and about forgiveness of sins. That is the gospel, that repentance should be preached in his name. Someone needs to preach it. Amen. Someone needs to tell someone else that this is what Jesus did on the cross. And then we start to believe and we have our sins forgiven and we have forgiveness of sins. That's what remission means. But who is it going to be preached by? His witnesses. Further on in that scripture, talks about, you are my witnesses. Talking to his disciples, but ultimately saying to us that we who have received Christ are his witnesses. And how are we going to do this? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's only one way we're going to witness, and that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why we're so serious about being filled with the Holy Spirit and being continually filled. And that's why what Edward said, you know, when you go on a mission, you are just continually filled because you know you cannot do this without the Spirit. But why aren't we continually filled tomorrow morning when we go to work or go to class? Why aren't we on a mission tomorrow? Amen. I trust tonight that we'll start our mission tomorrow morning. In fact, we'll start right now when we walk out here. Maybe there'll be people at the Spur or wherever that you can minister to. Let's be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's His power, it's His ability and His authority and the blessing that comes with that. I want to say this evening that the nations are in a state of sickness. Amen. And guess what? There's only one pill. It's called the gospel. Some of you will wake up here. There's only one pill. Amen. It's called the gospel. You know what the gospel means? The good news of Jesus. The joy of our salvation, guys. The intercessors prayed beforehand and said, you know, we must enjoy God. Some of us need to enjoy God again because we're not making a difference to anyone because our situation is so tough and everything's so tough and we've forgotten about our salvation, the joy of knowing Christ. That's what gets me up in the morning. Amen. And yes, life is tough and we've got to pray and we've got to sometimes fast and God help us now. But if we see the joy of being filled with the Spirit every day, the joy of living for Christ. I'm almost done. Last scripture. Acts chapter 2, it talks about Pentecost, the Holy Spirit being poured out, and there was a coincidence, or was there? That at that same time, every nation under heaven was represented. And guess what? They all heard their languages. Is that coincidence or not? I see it as God's heart. Saying to the nations, listen here, I'm coming to get you. I love you too much. This is not just for Israel. Israel missed it. They should have been a light to the nations many years ago. But my son has come to be a light to the nations by the power of the Spirit. And you're going to hear your language because I love you. And I believe for some people tonight, God is speaking His language to you. By His Spirit, He's telling you that He loves you and He's drawing you back to His kingdom. Some people's hearts are broken. The Lord showed me how there's people's hearts who are broken here tonight. And He wants you to recognize that and to heal your heart. He wants to heal your heart tonight. Your heart's been broken by people and relationships and whatever. And God showed me that other people, there's like a river over here. And just symbolizing the altar call, God bringing people forward. There's a river. God wants you to jump into that river. The river of the Spirit. Amen. Because we can't go to the nations if we haven't had God drown us in His love and in His Spirit and bowled us over. Some people need to drown in the river of God's Spirit tonight. That your issues, your stuff can be washed away. Amen. Just the last story before we finish is, I'll never forget when I got the call to ministry and the Lord, you know, I stayed in Stellenbosch for 14 years and Stellenbosch is the most beautiful place, you know, probably the most beautiful place on earth. I think it's like heaven there. I think it's a little like bubble there, you know. Those people need to get out of it. They need to come to the Free State. Amen. SSL, tell those Stellenbosch people they must come to Vaans Braai, you know. Vaans Rugby Spiel and Braai. Okay, the Stormers did win, but only just. Okay, but Stellenbosch is a beautiful place. And so when we got the call to ministry, and obviously I knew before my wife did because God was stirring in my heart to go. And I thought, Stellenbosch is awesome. I love this place and I'll stay here forever. And then when you think about that and you just realize you're a Christian now, staying here forever, no, it doesn't tie in. You know, it's no comfort. Okay, kingdom and comfort is not the same. Okay. And so I started to prepare my heart and God prepared my heart that I would probably have to go. Okay, as much as I in the natural would love to stay here And then I did the most stupid thing. Okay? I take my wife onto one of the most beautiful lookouts that you can, and I tell her, listen here, we are going to Gauteng. End of story. You know, no more of this. You know, like, okay, it was in 6 months' time, but I was thinking afterwards, why did I do that? Why didn't I go and sit in a coffee shop or, like, try and create an atmosphere where it's, like, going to be like Pretoria or Gauteng, you know, the busy life, instead of sitting out on this beautiful mountaintop where it's just nothing and it's just beautiful view. And so my wife, obviously, she's crying and she thinks, how am I going to give this up? And I'm thinking, how am I going to get my wife to come with me now, you know? But, you know, it took 6 months, and she realized that this is God's call, and she said yes to the ministry when she said yes to me, you know. She knew that I've been called to go. And so it was tough for her, and then we, you know, we're driving past here, and the N1, and she's getting over her tears and starting to get excited about the new challenge in Gauteng. And we drive past, yeah, the Free State, and we get past this big city on the right, and she says, you know, it's actually quite cool. I'm quite excited to go to Pretoria because at least we don't have to come here. I mean, she's from the Free State. She comes from the Eastern Free State. I'm thinking, why? And I thought, okay, well, that's fine. Well, cool, she's excited. And a year later, God says, Bloemfontein, pack up your stuff again. Leave the shops of and the high city life of Gauteng and come to the Free State. See, don't say you're never going to go to a place. That's the lesson that she learned. Okay, you say never. And now she's saying, I'll never go to Seychelles. I'm never going to go to Mauritius. I'm never going to go there. But God hasn't answered that prayer yet. God sometimes answers our prayers in ways that we never understand. But the point is this evening is that God is going to call us to sometimes pack our bags and to go. Amen. And it might not be the comfort of South Africa, because I tell you, anywhere in South Africa is quite comfortable if you've got to compare it to some people going to even to London or a different nation or different city where we're starting to plant church. We're planting a church in the Netherlands, by the way, this year, in Utrecht. Anyone want to go to Utrecht? There's a university there? Then go for it. There's an older couple, they just so sold out for the Lord, they're going to start the church. It wasn't as if Shofar said they must go. They just said, we're going. We feel God sending us to Utrecht in the Netherlands, because Europe needs the gospel, guys. You know, we've many times focused on Africa, but Europe is so dark. The Muslims are taking over that place. The gospel needs to go there. But sometimes we need to just pray. And I'm trusting tonight, we're going to pray right now. We're going to take communion. But I'm trusting that God would birth in you an apostolic seed, that you would be prepared like I was, because many years before I left, I know God did it in my life. Prepared me to go. It wasn't just like something was thrown on me. I knew I had to count the cost. It wasn't easy to leave the beautiful winelands, but when God says go, the best place to be, guys, is in the will of God. The most safest and blessed and awesome place, abundant life, is when you're in the will of God, in the middle of His will. And if that means you've got to go, then rather go than stay and be frustrated where you know it's not God's will and someone else has already been sent. And so tonight there's an opportunity to write your name down and to go on a short-term mission. But more than that, it's not about ticking a box. It's about saying, God, when you send me to go, I want to go to the nations. That's our mandate as Christians. It's not a shofar thing. It's a biblical thing. Go and make disciples. Let's all close our eyes and pray tonight. Father, we just thank you for your heart here tonight, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, this hall is represented, Lord, by flags and globes and everything, Lord. But it's not about the nations, Lord. It's about your heart. Because, Lord, this earth that you created is yours. The fullness thereof, Psalm 24:1 says that the fullness of God. And the earth is filled with the fullness of God. It's your earth, Jesus. It's your people. And, Lord, there's people being born, Lord, every minute. Every second almost, people are being born. Lord, there's so many people dying. Lord, we just thank you for the nations. We thank you for your heart tonight, God. Your heart is beating, Lord. Lord, like a bridegroom's heart beats for his bride, Lord. Like a father's heart beats for his son. Your heart is beating tonight for so many people. Lord, we thank you for your call upon our lives as young people here, Lord. People that don't know much, Lord. Some of us have only walked with you for literally weeks or months or even a couple of years, Lord. But we sense your heartbeat tonight, Lord. And God, I pray tonight that we will embrace, Lord, the calling upon our lives as individuals, Lord. Not as we don't respond tonight as a church. We respond as individuals. Each one of us, Lord, standing before you now. Some of us, Lord, have never reached out to another culture. Some of us are so bound by the racism that is still so prevalent in this nation, Lord. We can't even reach out to our own people in this nation, let alone another nation. God, we pray for deliverance tonight. We pray that you'd set us free of this.